Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 37. Our air date is Thursday, September 11th, 2025. I am your host, C. Willie. Happy to be back here this week, joined again by the lovely and talented
Butter Peep.
And she hasn't kicked me out, folks. I don't know. You keep writing and saying, why not? Well, we're still here, so I'm happy about that. We have a very, very special guest with us tonight. He is Aaron James Wright. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. Aaron is a West Michigan boy. He is joining us from our home state, so we're on opposite sides of the state, and happy to have Aaron with us. Aaron, you've been doing this for a while. Your sound to us is kind of a folk, almost sound to it, really very pure. Tell us a little bit about your influences and what got you into music.
Well, you know, I've been singing since I was a little kid, since Mrs. Murphy gave me the solo in the Christmas program in second grade. And, you know, singing in front of people, I've just always loved it. You know, I did all the musicals in school, and I started playing out probably when I was 19, playing solo acoustic shows. And I'm about 800 or so years old now, and so I've been playing for a long time, and I played in rock band, my old rock band back 98, 99, long time ago, called Slow Drag. Here we were together for about 4 years, and a little touring around the Midwest, and we're kind of more of a rock band, and I love all that rock music from the 90s, the Pixies and Sonic Youth and Wilco, when those guys were getting started back then. We love that stuff, the Jayhawks, and I just love all kinds of different music. You know, I learned to sing playing in musicals and everything, but then I really got into music. I got the my subscription to like the is it the CBS, the one where you could like send in and get tapes and CDs?
Yeah.
Columbia
House was
Columbia House. Yeah,
I think I still owe them about $40. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I went crazy with Columbia House over a couple of years, and like was studying all the different genres of music, funk and jazz and all that different stuff. I had a good buddy that I played in a band with for a little while that got me into a lot of the old country. A lot of the old country stuff, Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. I'm just into a lot of different types of music. It's kind of a folky thing that I do, but I feel like a rocker at heart. I played in a rock band for a long time, and I can, I can sing a little quieter when I do the solo shows, but I can get a little,
You've got the wild side. Well,
yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, and that's where your background had been, because as we're listening to the songs, and they're beautiful, it's beautiful music we're going to hear here shortly. I'm thinking, and Quarter Peep and I are talking, folk comes to me when I'm listening to this, but it's on another level because it feels so clean. Folk has kind of a dirty, loose sound to a lot of it. This is really crisp and right on point.
Okay, yeah,
that may be the rock.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah,
you just released a new solo album, your second solo album in January. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I recorded with my good buddy, Mike Roach, at Broadside Productions here in Kalamazoo. And Mike and I have been friends for a long time. And he sat in on some of my bands, played drums a couple times with Slow Drag when our drummer was unable to make the gig. And I've just got a lot of respect for the guy. And he's played in a lot of bands around. He played a band called Thought Industry. Ever heard those guys from? They're kind of more of a metal-ish band. And he recorded and produced a bunch of their records. And yeah, the first album that we did, a little stronger, Mike, I had recorded the title track for that just on my iPad with no click track, and the guitar wasn't even in tune. I had just written a song, and it was kind of a weird song for me because it was R&B kind of feel. And I sent it to, or I just posted it, and Mike saw it and put it into his music machine. And then he said, "Hey, you got to come down to the studio. I want to show you something." And he had produced the whole thing and not said anything to me about it. Drums and bass, and there's horns on it. So that first solo album, he produced that whole thing, and I've always done demos with him. So he went through and just picked out the demos that he wanted and did his own production. He's like a, you know, he's a studio rat, mm-hmm. and just really loves to work on his own. Doesn't really need anybody to tell him, enjoy anybody telling him what to do.
Sure.
So I'm sure that he spent an insane amount of time on it. And so that was how the first one kind of worked out. And then the newer one, I got a partial grant from the Greater Kalamazoo Arts Council. And so that helped kind of fund it. And so the second one's a little bit more stripped down and a little bit more reflective of what it's like when I actually perform live. Cause I'm just solo right now. I don't have group. I haven't played with a group in quite a while, and you know, I might get a group together at some point, but for right now I'm just doing solo shows. So my most recent album is pretty stripped down, a couple extra instruments here and there, maybe a harmony vocal, but trip down.
Well, in this first song that we've got queued up, and excuse me that I don't have the answer off the top, but is this from the second album? All I Want
Is from the second album.
And reflects exactly what you're saying. It's more just you.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the background on this song. How did this come about?
Oh, All I Want Is It All. I don't know. It's kind of a rocker. The one part, there's a line in there about, I'm a big fan of pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling.
And as an adult, I'm just fascinated by the mystery of pro wrestling and all the craziness behind the scenes, and all the stories from the old days. And so there's a line in there about Andre the Giant that he, you know, there's always all these stories about him drinking just an insane amount. They said that he drank 122 beers in one sitting.
It's interesting you say that. We just came across that fact last weekend as we were looking through things.
So, you know, it's just kind of like that. Just, you know, I'm a pretty mild mannered guy, you know, suburban dad, you know, teaching for a living. But on the inside, you know, I could maybe go for 122 beers.
I love it. I love Good. It. Well, challenge accepted. All right. Well, let's give this one a listen. This is All I Want Is It All, Aaron James Wright.
Sound of my heart beating, I mean everything every day. neighbors more than they can handle. I want an eagle to land on my arm and fight a battle but escape unharmed. I want to rewrite all of the laws. All I want is it all. All I want is it all. All I want is it all. I want to tap dance every path, bag up my misery.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
That is Aaron James Wright's All I Want Is It All. And it's a great tune. Just a great tune.
Mm-hmm.
I can see an elbow pile driver coming down there when that Andre the Giant line came through. That's fantastic. All righty. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Aaron James Wright.
Can't take your purse into the show? Here's a safe and convenient alternative. Wallet Buckle. They're super stylish, convenient, and very safe. Go to walletbuckle.com and check them out. And if you enter the coupon code QUARTERPEEP, you get 15% off your order. That's walletbuckle.com.
Welcome back to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. We are with Aaron James Wright. Just heard All I Want Is It All. That kind of set the tone for us now. The bar has been set very high, so we need to go through this with a big bang. You are a full-time middle school teacher. Tell us a little bit about your professional career, and does that spill into what you're doing here with your music?
Yeah, so I am a full-time special education teacher at the middle school here in Madwan, Michigan. I've been teaching for 17 years. I worked in a adult foster care home for adults with disabilities for 6 years before that while I was doing my undergrad. So 22 years I've been doing this.
That takes an amazing amount of patience, and congratulations, and thank you for what you do.
Yeah, well, you know, I enjoy the work. I love hanging out with the kids. We were just doing music in class today, just doing kind of some rhythm stuff. I tried to kind of crank out a song at lunch and ran out of time. I was going to do a song about apologizing. It's hard to apologize, even for adults.
It is.
But teach a kid how to apologize and accept an apology. So, but I, you know, just came up with a little riff and said, okay, let's get at the end of the day, when we're worn out of reading and writing, we got a little box percussion instruments and we'll get out, and they love it. They love playing and making music. And
do you know, over the 17 years that you've been doing that, have any of them taken off with music of their own?
That's a good question. No, I mean, some of my kids, I do have a student that, you know, I've had students that have gotten into it. Yeah. And that do, you know, like that's one of their pastimes, getting together with a group to do music with their church group or community group or whatever. And, you know, I've had a lot of students that have looked forward to, you know, music time during the week. But then you get some students that too are music is not their thing.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I had one group where it's like half the kids loved it. And half the kids would just like dive out of the room, you know, but, you know, my kids all have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Sure.
So, you know, all of my students wear their emotions right on their sleeve. Yeah. So it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like us.
It does.
Yeah.
What does your creative process look like when you're putting all this together? Is there a pattern that you follow? Is every song different? How does that transpire?
Well, I just love writing. And I always have since I was a teenager, I guess, writing poetry or, you know, whatever type of lyrical stuff. And some of it, I think when I was younger, it was more, internal, just about like my own, internal condition, I guess. And the older I've gotten, the more I've read, I feel like it's more maybe about external stuff. Where I'll, read an idea and sort of put that into a song. And these days, it used to be more of like a mystery to me when I was young. It's like, oh my God, I don't think I'm going to write another song again. And now I feel I've written so many songs that it's almost more like, it's not necessarily every time where I sit down where I can crank a song out, but most times I can get something. Mm-hmm. And then I try to write enough tunes that, I keep the ones that I like, and some are crappy and some are average, And so I just write and don't, I try not to stress out too much about one particular song, just finish it. And if I don't like it, I'll write another one. You know, these days I've got a running tally of titles. And so I've kind of reversed the process. I used to just start with coming up with a little chord progression. But now I've been starting with a title and then go to a chord progression, then try to fill in what the meaning of the title is. But it helps me get where I'm going. Like if the title a lot of times would be the chorus, sometimes it's the first line, but a lot of times it's the chorus. So I've got, mm-hmm. Before I used to start with a line, I'd get one good line, be like, oh, great, this is going.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I was going. So that's kind of my process right now. And I like to write about all kinds of different stuff. So
very, very interesting. That's it's fun from our chairs because we hear something different just about with every artist that we talk to. And that's,
yeah,
that's the first I've heard that. That's,
yeah,
start with the title and off we go. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And sometimes I've got an idea about what the title, what it means. And then I get to writing a song and it turns into something else,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. Well, the next one that we've got queued up it's quickly become one of Quarter Peep and I's favorites is Thousand Lightning Bugs. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, this one is, kind of a ballad. My buddy Mike First is a multi-instrumentalist. He played with the band Knee Deep Shag around here. He plays in a bluegrass group called the Corn Fed Girls. He plays in a klezmer group, the Red Sea Pedestrians. All three of those bands, all three of those groups have had some pretty good success. And now his daughter, and she's got a singing partner. They've got a little group. They opened for Sarah. I can't remember who they opened for at Bell's, but Mike played I think violin on this, and this. Not every song has a specific story. This one is more kind of up to the listener to,
you bet,
put a meaning to.
Multiple interpretations.
Love it.
All right. Let's give this one a listen. This is Thousand Lightning Bugs from Aaron James Wright.
Lightning bugs light cigarettes, a jolt alike to boys and men in coats. Driving back with one hand tied behind your eyelids so you can't see the road. Oh, the toasts they will remember, but for you the drink went on forever. Women float like lily pads, they wake up in your wake, your clumsy road. Beautiful and sentimental, fragile as an oil candle's glow. Oh, what will sudden pain or the slowly burning ember. Oh, how sad, you say. She wanted you to work, you wanted her to play. Slow the whole thing down, let it burn a little longer next time around. Deliveries go unreceived, cars don't have addresses anymore. While you were staring at the exit, somebody was knocking on your door. Oh, you know the sender, but the gift you don't want to remember. The fuse was lit, the sizzle sounded, tension built so slow. You couldn't move. The burst of light was so exquisite, a thousand lightning bugs filled the room. Oh, though you may have been blinded, you didn't close your eyes, you let the light in.
Thousand Lightning Bugs from Aaron James Wright. As we're listening to that, and you mentioned before the song played that everybody can have their own interpretation, I kept thinking about, and I just can't, the name escapes me of the song, but the song by Jim Croce years ago about the father and son, dad wanted to get together, son was too busy. And the messaging in there and what you were saying in that song kind of reminded me of that. You know, sometimes we have to slow down and hey, we got to take others into account and make that kind of concession or it's going to be too late.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Jim Croce, man.
Yeah. Yeah. A quarter peeps too young to remember, but hey, you and I, Aaron, we're there. Beautiful song, man. Just absolutely beautiful song. Just love that. So folks that are listening, new listeners, folks that aren't familiar with Aaron James Wright, where do they find you?
Well, I have a Instagram, Aaron James Wrightagram. That's my Instagram, where I just demonstrate my mastery of social media. And I've got a Facebook page, just the Aaron James Wright Facebook page. And you can, you know, purchase my albums on Amazon and all, you know, both my albums are on all the major streaming platforms on Spotify, Pandora, and Apple Music, all that stuff. You can find, I've got two solo albums.
Super.
Out so far.
So folks will be out looking for that. If they want to know where you're playing, you're quite a bit in the Southwest Michigan area, I'm assuming. You schedule on your Facebook?
I do, yeah. Super. Yeah, my Facebook and Instagram. I try to put out a monthly schedule. Let's see, September I'll be in Vicksburg at the Distant Whistle on the 19th. I'll be at Lucy's Backyard in Grand Haven on September 20th. I'll be at New Holland Brewing. That's a nice room.
Oh, yeah.
Battle Creek. September 26th. What else have I got? Round Barn I'm playing. It's in Baroda by the lake shore. on October 5th, and I'm playing Territorial Brewing, which is in Springfield's Battle Creek, October 24th. That'll be a fun one. I'm going to do a bunch of spooky, like, scary murder-themed that I've written. Yeah, some murder ballads.
Well, and folks, if you haven't been to any of those venues, every single one that he named off there are some fantastic places to catch, in particular, what Aaron's doing. But man, just some great locations. I think we may have to make a little trip west for that New Holland.
Yes, so I think the one on October 24th we should check out.
That one might be a lot of fun, too. Aaron, the last one that we have queued up is Internet Blues. Tell us a little bit about the backstory on Internet Blues.
Well, you know, I mean, it's great that we can connect on the internet, so that's
sure,
good.
Sure.
But, you know, the song's just kind of about how overall I feel like the jury's still out. I mean, the cat pictures are great. The cat video is hilarious. But, you know, beyond that, I'm not sure. You know, just there's so much negativity in the world and it just gets amplified, you know, so. And, you know, and it's not really a blues song either. It's kind of a misnomer, I guess. But I've got Al Bates is playing dobro, slide guitar on the tune. Al used to play in a bluegrass band called Sweet Corn back in the 70s and 80s. Those guys were a hot bluegrass band. I think they said they opened up for Reba McEntire at the Lansing.
No way. That's awesome.
Maybe at the Lansing State Fair.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, this is a great tune, and I love the message too, because I, you know, for an older guy like me, I would prefer the book versus the version that you get on the internet, and I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of great things that we get off of there, but there's a lot of really negative there as well. So thank you for writing this song.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All righty. Aaron James Wright, this is Internet Blues.
I got a dusty old book for everything. You can have the internet back. Some sunny days I lay and lay, listening to the interstate highway. With a single tug of the talking plug, I'm alone and I don't like that. Saw a plastic deer in the rearview mirror and a real one through the windshield. The buck up front gave me a stare to let me know he knew I was there. And the deer in back of me stayed in place, an echo of a hell of a deal. Well, I really want you to hear me, and I want the world to leave me alone. Some stormy days, it's the other way. I don't know if I've left or come, but I'm living way out past my mortal strength, still tethered by a beeping telephone. When I'm all alone, and I've gone to ground, how will you hear my sound? When I'm all alone.
I think there are a lot of us that have the internet blues. We just won't necessarily admit it, but that's Aaron James Wright's version, and we really enjoy that. And we've really enjoyed having this conversation with you here tonight, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, man. This is a blast. I was looking forward to it. This is great. Thanks so much.
You bet, as have we. Quarter People, who's up next?
Yes, so we have Jennifer Alvarado.
Oh, we're looking forward to that. We'll have a great conversation with Jennifer. I want to thank once again Aaron James Wright for joining us tonight. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for what you're doing in your teaching career and your music career. And we're looking forward to seeing you there real soon, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later, guys.
All righty. That's a wrap on tonight's show. Thanks for everybody out there that's been supporting us. We really appreciate all you're doing. If you know somebody else like Aaron James Wright that you would like us to talk to, drop us an email at vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. You can also see where we're going to be, when we're going to go see Aaron. That's on our website, which Quarter keeps wonderful tabs on. That's vehiclecitysound.com. We're having a ball doing this. We appreciate everybody's support. And hey, y'all, be good.